This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It is Saturday today. I am just barely getting this one squeaked in. But it's been a fun week. Lots and lots of things we got accomplished this week. We're on vacation. Lots of fun stuff this week. And I actually don't have... I actually don't have any notes. So I'll just tell you about the week and stuff that happened and yada, 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 yada. It is Mad Hatter Day. Well, we're celebrating Mad Hatter Day today. So that's fun. And people have seemed to enjoy the costume, the Mad Hatter costume. I've had people look and say, I love Mad Hatters. So that's always good when you get, you know, some identification. And there's been a lot of sweet, cute little moments. So all of that is very, very good. We started out on our vacation last Friday. It was comic book day, so I had a Flash costume, the old comic book Flash costume. And then I had my t-shirt with the sloth on it, who's dressed in a comic book Flash costume. So I was telling people that it was a day of aspirations. That it was the day when we could all aspire to be more than we were, because it's National Comic Book Day. So that was fun. We had fun with that. Ran home, got some videos done real quick. I had packed the night before, got back to the house, finished up real quick, hopped in the car about 11:30, 11:45, ran out to the airport, caught our flight out. And it was good. It was a nice flight out. I walked off the plane in Orlando, and I didn't do what I should have done, which is check the weather. Walked off the plane, and it was, I don't know, 95 degrees in Orlando, and I was wearing jeans, and I was thinking, oh, this isn't going to work. So that was one of those failed Jesus whispers, because I had brought black shorts with me, some workout black long shorts with me, and I thought at the time, I just had a little Jesus whisper, I'd picked out my t-shirts, and all of my t-shirts, of course, I had companion knee-high socks with them, fun socks, and at the time I thought, well, you should just grab all your companion knee-high socks and bring those along too. And I just thought, no, I'm just wearing jeans. It'll be fine. It was like, So as soon as I got there and it was hot, and the next day on Saturday, then we just kicked around a little bit and kind of decompressed. Went to a place called Disney Springs, which is just a bunch of little outlet stores. Not outlet stores, a bunch of Disney stores. And I kind of practiced the whole social distancing thing and how we were doing that. This is really interesting to watch all of that. And people were cooperating. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing that people cooperate with stuff like this as much as they do. Because having grown up in the Philippines, I can tell you there are different ways culturally that different cultures approach things like lines of authority. And the Filipinos, when I was there at least, didn't tend to follow rules that they couldn't see an immediate reason for. So, for instance, we were looking for something. What were we looking for? I don't know. We were looking for something that Nat wanted to find. And the big Disney store there in Disney Springs was Outfitters, something. Anyways, so we stroll over to go in there, and we walk up, and you know, the doors say exit only on them, and there's a person standing there, and there's no, this is exit only. Okay, so we start walking around the store trying to figure out how to get into this store, and we go like three quarters of the way around the entire store, realizing we have gone the wrong direction. We should have gone counterclockwise as opposed to clockwise. And then when we get around there, we see, oh, there's the entrance to the store, and there's the line, and the line goes way back, sneaky, sneaky, so we go get in the line. You know, do the whole thing, wait in line. That was sort of the beginning of our adventures of waiting in lines. But really, all in all, not too bad. Just not too bad. So, that was Saturday, and then Sunday, went to the Magic Kingdom. That's always fun. Went around, did some rides. Because it was the weekend, I wasn't too surprised that the rides had wait times. Didn't have extraordinary wait times, but some wait times. Then Monday, we headed over to Animal Kingdom because we really wanted to do the Flight of Passage. It's called the Flight of Passage ride, which is very cool. It's very, very cool. They have you on these things that look sort of like motorbikes without wheels. And then this back plate comes up. You push your chest against a front plate and a back plate comes up and pins you in place. And then they can tilt the you know, motorbike carriage. They can tilt it up and down and they can shove it forward and they can pull it back. And then they put you in front of this big massive screen. And I think you're wearing 3D glasses at the same time. And so you're supposedly flying on one of this giant winged beast. And of course they can vibrate the whole thing and they can inflate stuff against your legs to make it feel like the lungs of the beast are inflated. I mean, it's very cool. It's just very cool. So we actually ended up riding that one a couple of times. First time we had like a 60 minute wait, and then the next time it was a 30 minute wait. It wasn't bad at all. And then that was Monday. Tuesday, we then went to Hollywood Studios, Disney Hollywood Studios, which is where the Star Wars stuff is. And so we specifically were trying to get in to the virtual queue for the big ride, Rise of the Resistance. It's a 15 plus minute ride. It's very cool. It's lots and lots of fun. It's just very, very fun. But because it's in such high demand, what they do is they have a virtual queue. The virtual queue opens at 10 o'clock and at 2 o'clock every day. You can only get in the virtual queue once a day. So what you do is you, hey, I made it through. There was a light that had turned yellow and I was at that really odd stage where you're not sure whether you're supposed to speed up or slow down. Anyways, so there is a virtual queue, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. If you don't get into those two points, then you just have to come back and try again. So this was Tuesday. We were a little slow at 10 o'clock. We were a little slow, and the queue got closed before we could get in. And by a little slow, I mean that we were refreshing, but I didn't get it refreshed in time. And so by 10 o'clock, 0 minutes and 2 seconds, it was all over. Because you're looking around and everybody's standing around just in the main open area there, right after you get through the ticketing at Hollywood Studios, and everyone's staring at their cell phones with their fingers poised. So, I mean, it goes fast. So at 2 o'clock then, we tried it again, and we tried it more towards doing it the way people had told us we needed to do it. And with that one, you know, and bam, bam, got in as fast as I could. And we got in backup group 71. And so I wandered over to where the ride started and talked to the guy. I said, so I'm in backup group 71. And he said, you know, that's not too bad. You'll probably get on today. He said, just, you know, make sure that you, you know, pay attention to your notifications. And he said, that'll probably work. So we kicked around the park the rest of the day. We did the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run ride, did that a couple of times. It was interesting to watch how they were doing the COVID isolation stuff, because the Smuggler's Run is actually a 6-seat ride. You're inside one of these little carriages that are on a gimbal and, you know, shake around and all that kind of stuff. And normally you have two pilots, two people handling the weapons, and then two people doing the maintenance. In this case, though, we got up to the front of the line, and the young lady said, so what do you want to do? And we said, we could do the pilots. And they said, okay. So as we got in there and, you know, we did the pilot, we were set up to do the pilot thing. It was just us inside there. That worked out good. Nett and I just did the pilot, and we did that both times then. We just did the pilots. So just a second, let me, the young lady who lives with us, we are in the process of trying to put her phone on our plan, and she was needing to do a couple of things, and she may have those done, and if she has those done, I may be heading back into town. So I need to find a stop to pull over here, and I'm just going to go ahead real quick and put this on pause, find out what's there, and then also, I may go ahead and do a book delivery real quick, because I have a book to deliver just in this area. In fact, why don't I just go down there and deliver the book, and then I can find out what's going on with her all at the same time, and that way there will only be one interruption. So, anyways, so we did get in boarding group 71 at 2:00, and so we kicked around the park, we did a bunch of rides, blah, 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 blah. Actually, if I need to meet her back there, let me do this. Hold on. Okay, so got in touch with Amber. I'm going to head back into town, and we're going to see if we can get her phone on our plan. So I'm going to go back into town, but I'll just finish this up as I'm doing this. So anyways, Ride of the Resistance, we kicked around. We eventually did make it onto, our group got called like at 6:00. We were just finishing up with our second time of Smuggler's Run. So we went over there and got in line, and, you know, it's still another 45 minutes or so by the time you snake through all the lines and do all that and blah, blah, blah. We got right up to the point where our toes are on the line, where we're getting ready to line up to go get on the first quote-unquote transport. And then we don't move, and then they come on and they say, well, we're having a slight delay. And I leaned over to Ned and I started laughing. I said, wouldn't it be hysterical if we got all the way up here after waiting all day to get on this ride and they shut it down? So the guy came out and he said, well, it's probably going to be about a half hour. And we're like, it's fine, whatever, whatever. So, because it had just been a fascinating day for me, just watching everything in the background and see how everybody was working and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So really interesting. And of course, it's Disney, so everything is really well done. So we rode Ride of the Resistance, and that was fun. It was fun, but there seemed to be a couple of odd spots. Like at one point, you're taken into an interrogation chamber, and like the guard is standing there, and then nothing happened for several minutes. We're looking at each other, we're looking at the other people in the group going, is something supposed to be happening now? We did go to Epcot on Wednesday and then go back on Thursday. And then did everything exactly like we were supposed to do it Thursday morning, when the 10 o'clock queue opened up. And when the 10 o'clock queue opened up, we were in group 15, 1-5. So, I mean, it was 45 minutes or so and we were in queue, on ready to go. But yeah, it's just kind of, for people who don't do their research, some of them were just stunned. Like on Tuesday, there was one guy who was just going, he was not happy. He was just complaining about the fact that, I went until 2, and then I went and I found the page, and I went in there. I'm in backup group 95. It's like, buddy, this stuff fills up fast. Because if you waited for 2 seconds, it was gone.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, so that all worked fine. And then the second time that we rode the second time that we rode Rise of the Resistance, it worked much, much better. There were no pauses. Plus, there was like one whole scene that I think we missed the first time through. So that was fun. It was like the big finish scene. I gotta tell you, man, the monitors on those things are just extraordinary. I don't know if they're running monitors or they're running like laser projectors or what they're doing, but it is spectacular. I mean, it's really, you're on some parts of it, you're supposedly looking out the windows of a Star Destroyer. And there's a battle going on just outside. Wow, it's beautiful. So that was fun. So we ended up actually leaving Disneyland Hollywood Studios, I don't know, mid-afternoon-ish. Then we went over and did some souvenir shopping. There is a Disney character outlet in one of the malls over there that, has stuff that Disney is clearing out and significantly less money. I mean, it's significantly less. And so we found presents for people and did all that kind of thing. And then kicked over to our hotel and, kind of had a quiet evening. And then got up the next morning and came back in. And then Friday, we landed in Springfield at 1 o'clock. And then I got everything kind of pulled apart, put away, that sort of thing. And then I threw on the Mad Hatter costume and headed in and did my grocery shopping. And it was interesting because, again, the flesh. The flesh is always going to try. It doesn't know, but it's always going to try that everything is, say that everything is as worse as it could possibly be. And as I'm heading in, the flesh is telling me, you're normal people. They're already going to be gone by now. Everybody's just going to be gone. It's just, you won't know anybody in there. It's like, whatever. And, the people in there, they won't know you. They'll just think you're weird, And it's, all this stuff is kind of going on in the background. But like, no. Maybe I'll get to see a few of my friends that are in there. And so,
I walked in.
Few of my friends were still there. We carried on with, we this, that, and the other. But something else interesting happened because apparently my friends who take pictures of me on Friday mornings show those pictures of me to their coworkers on Friday afternoons. And so there was one point I walked up and I said, and people were saying, "Hi, Phil!" And I was like, what? And a couple of people were getting at me. I finally get to see you in person. I said, well, happy Mad Hatter Day. You know, I'm going on. I'm thinking, what is going on here? But, you know, then several of them explained, I see your pictures every week. They show me. It's so good to see you in person. And I said, well, we just landed from Orlando and we just got back and I wanted to come see you all. And so it was really lovely. And there was actually one lady who was just grinning from ear to ear, and we were talking, and I was getting ready to take a picture with one of my friends and stuff, and she said, it's just so good to see you. You just look so cute. I think I'm gonna cry. So, you know, you bring a little joy into people's life. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So all that worked out really well. And then I went to breakfast with a friend this morning. Turns out the restaurant that we were having breakfast, going to breakfast in, one of their workers came down with COVID, so they shut down the restaurant temporarily. So then we ended up back over at the restaurant I normally go to on Friday, which I hadn't been to on Friday because I was in Orlando, so that all worked out real well, and went back to Walmart, talked to a few more people. Had to run over to Hobby Lobby to pick up something for the costume next week. And as I'm in Hobby Lobby, you know, there's this one young man, I see him and he's kind of staring at me, and then when I look at him, he looks away, and then I see he's staring at me. So finally, he and I ended up kind of in the same spot, young man. I said, well, happy Mad Hatter Day, sir. And he just burst into this huge smile. He thought it was just great. So we chatted for a little while. And As the pattern is, as you see the pattern over and over, I needed a styrofoam ring, and then I needed one of kind of those pull things that you use with badges. You know, you put your badge in it, and then you pull it out and hit the door and pull it back. I needed some of those, and so there was a helper there who was stocking some stuff, and I had said, just nodded and smiled, you know, when I'd seen her, and she kind of gave me a look like, what? So then I walked over and asked her, and she kind of looked at me, kind of pulled back. I said, do you have any of those badges? I said, I'm working on a costume for next week. And I said, it's like a woody vest, and so I need a pull ring on the back. And so she took me over there, and I mentioned to her that I'd become a celebrant of obscure holidays and that I dress up every week, and she went, oh, and then everything changed at that point. So then everything changed. It's not a weird guy that's homeless, just walks around in a Mad Hatter costume. It's actually a guy who dresses up every week and makes people smile. And so then I had already started to talk to the young man when she left, and as she got a little farther away, then she called back and she said, have a nice day. I said, have a nice day. Thank you so much. You know, and so all of a sudden, you know, there was a connection. There was also a really interesting connection in the Walmart parking lot, because I had seen several people, greeted several people, as is my way. I tend to go out of my way to greet people of color simply because, you know, there are others who won't. And I grew up overseas and I'm very comfortable. So there were a couple of people I had greeted, and there was one particular younger man. Well, younger man, he's probably 30, 40s. And I'd seen him and I greeted him. And then when I got back out in the parking lot, I saw him again. And so I greeted him again and wished him a Mad Hatter, you know, happy Mad Hatter's Day. And he kind of walked off, and then I saw him kind of turn around and walk back. And usually when you see that, it means that somebody is responding to Jesus Whisper. And so he came back and we started talking. He said, you know, he said, it's really interesting that people will just go ahead and he said, people will look at you. And he said, I watch people watching you, and some of them are pulling back and they're acting like, oh, what's going on with this weird guy? And he said, you know, he said, they're just looking at your clothes and they're making a decision just based on your clothes. And he said, you know, he said, we're all human beings. And I'm like, absolutely right. I agree with that. He said, you know, because I've had plenty of people that, you know, have looked at me weird. Just, and I said, I understand. And so we talked for a little while. And then finally I just said, you know, I said, honestly, I said, we'd all be better off if we just do what Jesus tells us to do and love our neighbors. And he just put his arms out and he said, exactly. You know, so then we had this lovely conversation. We hugged, we shook hands, you know, and it was just lovely. It was all of a sudden, it was Jesus, it was love your neighbor, and all the boundaries, all the borders were down. You know, it was just, we are two human beings who love Jesus. So, yeah, good stuff. That's the solution. Love your neighbor. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it to the Ryzen store, but I'm going home later. See you, bye.